Morning, everybody. Everybody doing well? I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus and coming this morning. We started all the way back on Easter Sunday, and we talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we took the Sunday next, and we talked about what happened to Jesus, what Jesus did from the time he was buried to the end of that 3 days when he was raised from the dead. That's an incredible message. I would encourage you to go to tcf.church and listen to that message if you haven't heard it. And then we talked about what Jesus did after he raised from the dead, and that he was on the earth for 40 days. Now, according to my calendar, if we were alive then, Jesus would be on the earth now 28 days. Okay, almost 30 days. And the Bible says he was on the earth for 40 days. And so in about, 12 days, he's going to ascend to heaven. And so at the end of that 40-day time, the disciples were with him. They watched him ascend to heaven. The angel said, just like you saw him leave, he'll return again. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you. Okay, Jesus has ascended. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So what's he doing now? Okay, we know a lot about his earthly ministry. We know a lot about his death, burial, and resurrection. We know a lot about the 3 days in between. We know a lot about the 40 days. We talked about him going to the lake with the 7 disciples. We talked about him going on the walk to Emmaus with the 2 men. So what I want to do this morning is I want to show you, let me get my prop. I've got a prop down here. I want to show you what Jesus is doing today. Okay, what is Jesus up to right now? All right. He's been in heaven. He's with the Father. He's seated at the right hand of God. And so what is he doing right now? And so here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to show you 4 facets of the present day ministry of Jesus that involve you. Okay. And I'm not going to be able to cover each one of these in depth. Some of you may be aware of these, some of you may not be. I'm not going to be able to help you completely, fully understand each one of them, but what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to expose you to these, okay, and show you what's Jesus doing now, okay? Well, you know, he didn't go to heaven to retire, amen? He didn't go to heaven to hang out and wait for something else to happen. So he has a present-day ministry that involves you and is for you. So let me show you the first thing about it. Okay, the first facet, if you will, of the present day ministry is that he is our high priest. Okay, he is our high priest. Let me read to you in scripture, Hebrews 4:14. Excuse me. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me go back and unpack this for you. Jesus is our high priest. Let me explain to you what that means. It says because Jesus is our high priest, the first thing that you and I are supposed to do is hold fast to our confession. What does that mean? Well, that means your confession of faith. What's your confession of faith? Hey, I'm blood bought. I'm redeemed. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I belong to him and he belongs to me. And the promises of God belong to me. You hold fast to your confession. My God meets all my needs. My God takes care of me. Healing belongs to me. Whatever need you have in your life, you're hanging on to it. You're holding fast to your confession. Why? Because Jesus is your high priest. The second thing it says is that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Have you ever thought before, well, you know, God doesn't really understand what I'm going through. He just doesn't get it. Okay, Jesus doesn't get what I'm going through. Well, the scripture right there says, yes, he does. He does, and he is sympathetic with what's going on in your life. It says right there in scripture that he was tempted in every way, just like you and I are tempted. The only difference is he was victorious in every one of those temptations, and we obviously were not. so he understands what you're going through. And it's so powerful to understand that. Then the last sentence says, let us therefore, because we understand this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now, what's a high priest? In the Old Testament, the priest would go into the temple and he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would bring a perfect lamb as a sacrifice. And they would kill the lamb and they would sacrifice it and its blood would go on the altar and it covered the people's sin. Do you remember the story of the Exodus where they ate the Passover meal right before they were delivered out of Egypt? And they took a lamb, and the lamb had to be perfect. They put the lamb in their house for 4 days, and they examined the lamb to make sure it was worthy to be sacrificed. Now, this little lamb here is sweet, but it couldn't be sacrificed because it only has one eye. Okay, this lamb has suffered the wrath of 5 granddaughters. Okay, so if you pray today, pray for this little lamb because he needs it. He's been with us. So I still brought it as an example, even though it wouldn't be worthy of a sacrifice. Do you remember when Jesus was about to be crucified and Pilate said to the crowd, I find no fault with him? Remember? Okay, do you know what he was saying? He was saying the Lamb of God has been examined and he's worthy to be sacrificed. They were obeying the Jewish law and did not even realize it. Now, here's the difference. The priest would come and he would bring a lamb and it would be sacrificed. Jesus didn't bring a lamb. He was the lamb. Jesus, as our high priest, went before God as our sacrifice. What happened at the cross? A great exchange. What does that mean? That means that Jesus, the Lamb, my sins were put on Jesus. He was sinless, he was perfect, and he didn't deserve to die, but he died in my place. My sins, your sins, were put on him. Then his righteousness and his life were put on me. There was an exchange, death for life. You gave him your death, he gave you his life. He is your high priest. Because he gave you his life, the last sentence says, come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. Why is it not the throne of judgment? Because my sin has been paid for by the Lamb. And his righteousness, his right standing with God has been given to me. And so I'm not under judgment anymore. I'm under grace. And Jesus is my high priest forever and for all time. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain what? What are you going to find there? You're going to find mercy and you're going to find grace. When? When you need it. Listen, did you know that when you need grace the most, you deserve it the least? Now, none of us deserve grace. That's what grace is, right? Grace is a free gift. Jesus paid for my sin. He's my high priest. He's your high priest. He took your place. And because of that, you're welcome to come boldly into the throne room. Now, that doesn't mean in pride or arrogance. It means in right standing. You're welcome to come boldly into Daddy's house, boldly into Daddy's room, and receive what? Help in time of need. Now, some of you may not have seen this, but there's an old photograph when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, and there was a little trap door in his desk, and his little boy, I believe his name was John, had that door open, and he was peeking out from under the desk while the president of the United States was sitting at the desk, and some photographer took a picture of it, and you can see it online, and it's a very famous picture. Listen, only children get under the desk of the king. Now, I know John F. Kennedy wasn't king, but he was president. Amen? Listen, the only person that can come boldly into the king's chamber is a son or a daughter. Are you with me? You're a son. You're a daughter. You are welcome to come into your father's presence. Listen, don't run from God. Run to God. Why? Why? Because he is your high priest. Listen, you're welcome in the front door. You're welcome to get in the refrigerator. You're welcome to get something to drink. You're welcome to go out to the garage and get in the truck and drive it. Why? Because you're a son. You're a daughter. Amen? Amen. Jesus is your high priest. Let me read, Hebrews 8, verse 1 and verse 6. This is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. Jesus is your high priest. It's one of his ministries today as he represents you. And where is he seated? Right next to God Almighty. Verse 6 says, we've obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also Jesus, a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. Amen. What's a mediator? A mediator is a go-between. If Vicky and I were fighting and not getting along and having problems, and we got a hold of a mediator, that's a person who would come and sit down with each one of us and talk to each one of us and help us resolve our differences. Listen, the Bible says that you and I were the enemy of God. But our high priest, our mediator, came and made peace with God for us. He is our mediator. He is our high priest. Let me show you the second thing that Jesus is today. He is also our advocate. He's our advocate. What's an advocate? An advocate is somebody who aids another. Okay, it's a lot like a lawyer. Okay, you get in trouble with the law, you go to court, and when you get to court, the lawyer goes, and what do? They represent you. And they represent you before the court. That's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He went in your place. He goes as your lawyer. He goes into the heavenly court, and he's your advocate. He's your high priest. And he goes before the judge, the Father. Listen, every one of us deserve judgment. Let that sink in. Don't let me go by that. But we don't get judgment. Why do we not get judgment? Because we have an advocate with the Father. Listen to 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, and we all do, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a representative with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation. Now, that's a big old English word that means payment. Listen to it. And he himself is the payment for your sin, not for ours only, but for the whole world. What is Jesus? He's your advocate. He goes to the Father. What did he do? He paid for your sin once and for all. If he doesn't pay, you know who does? You do. And listen, you don't have enough in your account to pay. Amen? You owe a debt you couldn't pay. But because you've accepted Jesus Christ, he pays for your sin. He pays for your mistakes, your shortcomings, and he's your advocate before the Father. Let me read you another verse. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I love this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. You and I are free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. It says right here that what we do have is the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus is our advocate. Let me give you one more verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, this verse I'm about to read is the entire gospel. This one verse I'm going to read, it's 2.5 lines, is the entire gospel, if you will, in a nutshell. Listen to what it says. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I already explained it, amen? It's the great exchange. I give Jesus my sin, he gives me his righteousness. I give him my faults. He gives me his life. There's a great exchange. Listen, when you get saved, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. Amen? You're given right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. Now, listen, I want you to understand this clearly before you leave out that door this morning. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. Listen, there's nothing you can do to be more righteous. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, you're automatically, instantly in right standing with God. Now, if I decided in the morning that I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to pray, and the reason I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock is because it makes me suffer because my body wants to sleep, and I'm getting up really early to impress God, and then when I impress God, he's really pleased with me. You're wasting your time. Anything you do to impress God is wasting your time. Why is it wasting your time? He's already impressed. He already loves you. You are already in right standing with him if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's your high priest and he's your advocate. Let me show you the next one. He is our intercessor. What does intercessor mean? If I pray for Greg Birkenfeld this week and I lift him up before the Father, that's intercessing. That's intercessory prayer. See, now you can pray for yourself and you should pray for yourself. I pray for myself. That's absolutely right, and you should do it. Amen? But when you lift others in prayer, you're standing in the gap. You're interceding for them. So Jesus is your intercessor. Listen to what it says. It says, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, what does that mean? That means Jesus died once and he'll never die again. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Can I rock you with something? Jesus is praying for you. Jesus of Nazareth is praying for you. Jesus of Nazareth is standing in the gap and interceding for you. Do you think Jesus' prayers get answered? You think? Maybe they do. So the things he's praying for you, do you think they're coming to pass? What is he? He's our intercessor. Look at Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? Praying for you. Praying you make it, praying you're hungry for him, praying that your life is drawn to him. Jesus of Nazareth is your intercessor, he's your advocate, and he's your high priest. And he's all these things are at work in your life. Amen? Amen. Let me read you another verse. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, let me read that to you one more time. There's one God, amen, God the Father. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Listen, you don't have to go to another man to be your mediator. Jesus is your mediator. Jesus is your advocate. Jesus is your intercessor. Jesus is your high priest. Man, you ought to be kicking the devil's hiney. Amen? You're on the right team. You drafted the right quarterback. His name's Jesus, by the way. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you the last thing. The last thing Jesus is, and this isn't an all-encompassing list, but this is just what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus is our shepherd. Let me read to you in John 10:7-15. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Talking about the devil. I have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Here it is. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. What does the word good mean there? It means noble and to be inherently good. Listen, your shepherd is good and he's noble. Amen? Let me continue to read. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by their own, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is your good shepherd. What's a shepherd do? A shepherd tends to the flock. He protects the flock from enemies. He makes sure they have food. He makes sure they have water. Amen? He takes care of them. That's exactly who your good shepherd is. He wants to provide for your every need, whatever that might be. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. He's your good shepherd. And he's your high priest. All of these things are at work in your life and your family this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all stand up. Let me pray. Praise God. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for your present day ministry, Jesus, for all that you're doing for us, all that you're at work in our lives to do. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you that you're our intercessor, you're our advocate, you're our high priest, you're our shepherd, and that you're at work in our lives and our family. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I declare your life and grace over each of us this morning, that your hand is on us and you're at work in our lives. Father God, I'm thankful for it. I praise you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.